Nothing in this recording is intended as investment advice, and the people in this recording may hold positions in the companies they talk about. Do not make any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Zacks Traders Cafe. Today I'm joined by Tim McCarthy, CEO at IMI Pharma. How are you today, Tim?
Zach, yeah, I'm very good, thank you. I'm here in sunny Milan at another very business development conference, which I think we put out a notice last week. So yeah, looking forward to the week, actually. Very much so.
Right, well, obviously you're with like-minded people who love all things biotech. BioEurope the clue's in the name, but it's a general point, and this is not specifically addressed at IMI Pharma, but biotechs on the London market tend to have a disproportionately hard time. Americans seem to get biotech rather better than UK investors. You seem to have turned the corner as far as your company is concerned. What are the points that you think to look out for if you're an investor in the space?
Good question. Good general question. I'm not sure I was expecting that, Zach, but I'm more than happy to comment because, you know, I've been in the sector a long time now, over 30 years, seen a lot of the ups and downs. And you're quite right. Here in the UK and into Europe to a certain extent, we don't have the depth of capital markets and the availability of capital, which biotechs require. And that is probably the main problem, along with a lack of appreciation of what biotechnology companies do. And again, not the capital resources, but the intellectual resources, which they have in the US, and much deeper, much more understanding of what companies like IMI Pharma do. I mean, that at the end of the day is the main difference. And we're seeing unfortunately, a lot of small biotechs leaving the AIM market over the last 2-3 years. I understand completely why they're doing it. They're not getting the recognition for their underlying technology, not getting the value. They find it very difficult to raise capital. And let's be honest, as a small biotech company, that's one of the main reasons you come to the market and why a lot of us came to AIM market in the first place, is access to capital. Yes, it gives you a view on the world and it gives your company a valuation. But in the time that we are in development and trying to add value to our technologies, we're not revenue generating, so we're not financially independent. And so the markets are critical to us if we come to the public market. And if you look at the reasons that companies are given for delisting, for example, they're generally the same. It's the high cost of maintaining a public listing, the lack of capital available, certainly in the UK, and a lot less than it was even 10 years ago. It's deteriorated over the years for many reasons. The lack of the recognition of the advances in the technology which companies are making, and all of these things contribute to a situation where you sit here as manager and you think, well, is it really worth being on the public market? But let me come to IMI Pharma. Thank you for saying what you've just said. Yes, we have had actually a very good start this year. And that is down to the news flow we put out right from the beginning in 9th of January was the first news flow. So we hit the ground running, so to speak, after the new year. And let's be honest, news flow is the lifeblood of biotech companies like IMI Pharma. And back to the wider point that we were just talking about, there is a need for companies like IMI Pharma to keep the market informed, keep them up to date. But you have to do that with substantial news. It's no point just putting out a press release every month just to say you're still here. And also, what I've found is that those news releases need to be understandable by the market as well, because we're dealing with very complex subjects here very often. And if you put out a very technical news release, the real understanding of it is perhaps not there, because, let's be honest, the majority of investors out there are not scientists, are they? So, many, many issues, I think, Zach, in the background. But without going into IMI Pharma specifically, which I'm sure we will do in a moment, I agree with your point. It's extremely difficult for young companies and small companies, I should say, to gain traction in the public market, which is really unfortunate, because the UK has got a very, very fantastic background and history in world-breaking science. And we have some of the top scientists here in this country, some of the top research institutes and universities producing fantastic science. And yet we find it very difficult to commercialize. But then I guess you could say that about many industries across the UK, unfortunately.
I think the point that you've met, you addressed my what was going to be my second question, that biotech in many cases is even more complicated than rocket science, and most people are not experts on rocket science either. And for instance, you're talking about you've got a mechanism to conquer autoimmune diseases, or a treatment for autoimmune diseases. From somebody who's a layperson, well, I say that sounds like something for lupus, maybe, or something like that. But it really does need a bit of handholding for many people to understand what what you're doing and what you've achieved. And perhaps if they did, then the valuation and the liquidity and the money would come pouring through after that.
I'd love to see the situation where money or in whatever shape or form comes pouring in after that, Zach. But you're right. We have reached a point just starting this year where a lot of the very, very hard work that the team has put in over the last 3 years, just remind your listeners and for those who know us and just inform those who perhaps don't know so well. There was a big change in the company just over 3 years ago. New management came in. I took over as CEO. I was previously non-exec chair. And we built a whole new team to have a look at the company, reorganize it. We reduced it in size. We made it more efficient from an economic perspective. But most importantly, in terms of adding value, we had a look at the portfolio. And we completely transformed it. And if you look at, say, 3 years ago, the company was known as a company that was developing a drug for lupus, which was called Lupsor. And that was all anybody knew about the company. If you look at a slide from our corporate deck now on the portfolio, you will see at the top of it something called P140, which is the name we give to our technology platform across autoimmune diseases, and I'll come back to that in a moment. We've also created from scratch a whole new anti-infective portfolio, and something which we don't shout about, and probably isn't even on the slides when I do the corporate presentations, is a number of other programs, which maybe were in the company previously but weren't being developed, and others which are completely new, which will start to raise their profile. We will start to raise their profile maybe later this year. And all of that is about putting our efforts and the monies actually, which we do raise from the public markets, into adding value for our shareholders. However, what I'd really like to talk about this morning is the P140 platform, because we've put a couple of RNSs out this year. I think I alluded just earlier to one on the 9th of January. We put one out last week. And this is where a lot of attention is being paid from discussions that we're having with potential business partners. And the main reason clearly why I'm here in Milan at this business development conference. And it is important actually that I take the time to try and explain in a little bit more detail the meaning behind the press releases. So on the 9th of January, just after everyone was waking up after the New Year celebrations, we put out a notice, and the title was ImmuPharma Announces Breakthrough Findings into Autoimmune Diseases. Now, what we've been doing over the last sort of 18 months or so is trying to get everyone to understand that the molecule we have, which people previously knew as Lupsor for lupus, has a much wider application. And that's why we're now using the term P140 to describe the whole technology platform. And our hypothesis over the last 18 months or so has very much been that P140 will be applicable not only for treating lupus, which is a very serious autoimmune disease, but also most, if not all, other autoimmune diseases. And you step back from that statement, that's a heck of a statement to make. However, what we've been doing and what we've been announcing in the last 2 or 3 months is the results of some work which has been done in one of the world's leading laboratories in the US on looking at P140 and actually how it works and proving, if you like, our hypothesis. But also what that has dis we've discovered out of that some completely new things, which we may have had a hint that P140 would be applicable in this way, but we never really thought about it before. And so what we announced on the 9th of January was that some of the preclinical studies that we were doing in the US, and I have to say this is important that we did this external to ourselves. You know, we could actually have run this study in-house or with perhaps Professor Silvan Müller, who's the inventor of this P140 technology. But we wanted it to be done by a world-recognized independent laboratory such that you know, people can put, if you like, a little bit more credibility on. It's like doing a business development deal. I can sit here all day and talk about the strength of our technology and the commercial prospects, but it isn't until somebody else from outside, another pharma company, for example, comes and puts money on the table and says, "We believe in your technology, we're going to take it on," that it gets that external validation, if you wish. So the first announcement on the 9th of January, we announced these breakthrough findings, and these really are one-offs. Nobody's ever been able to do this before. So there were 3 points. One, that we could use P140 to diagnose if a person has an autoimmune disease, and I'll come back to that and why that's so critical. And then in identifying patients who have these autoimmune diseases, were they most likely to respond to P140 therapy? And then after that, we can then monitor the patient's response to P140 and how the progress of the disease is going. To try and put that into context for everybody, as we sit here today, there is no definitive diagnostic test or blood test or anything that you can use or doctors can use to determine whether a person is suffering from an autoimmune disease. So if you have the example of say I'm feeling unwell and I'm getting lots of symptoms, I go to my GP and I say, "Look, I'm feeling unwell. I'm not really sure what the matter is." And the GP will probably the first thing they'll do is order a full blood test, and they'll take all the measurements that we're all used to when we have these medical examinations. And most likely it'll come back, they'll all the measurements are in line. And so nothing is standing out. And then they say, okay, well, that didn't help us, did it? So what do we do now? And then it's a process of elimination almost. And depending on the experience of the GP in terms of their exposure to autoimmune diseases, they may have more or less insight into this. But it's very much that they have to go one by one and maybe referring the patient, or me in this case, to a specialist, different specialists. And at some point, an immunologist or rheumatologist or somebody will say, "I think you're displaying signs of autoimmune disease," and then they'll try and narrow it down into what type of disease that is. It's a very long, drawn-out process. It's not very accurate, and very often a lot of patients they don't get the treatment which they need. What P140, this is the breakthrough findings that we declared in January. What P140 is able to do is to very, very simply and very quickly find, and I have to be careful what I say here because all of these findings, plus what we announced last week, are all subject to a new patent filing for P140. And in fact, these announcements, believe it or not, go through our patent agents before we put them out because, you know, we have to be very careful that we're not revealing new data which we're going to use in the patent. Otherwise, that patent wouldn't be valid. So excuse me if I'm not explaining it in full. However, the ability of P140 to be able to diagnose patients with an autoimmune quickly and accurately has been established now through these results in the US. And that is a complete one-off new thing that nobody else at the moment can do. So you can see how significant that is. And not only are we able to provide the diagnosis, we're then able to monitor the patients as we go through with the same technology. And what we're doing here actually is coming to personalized medicine. So there's personalized medicine is a bit of a buzz theme at the moment in terms of making patients or giving patients therapies which are directly relevant to them. And in the whole area of autoimmune disease, then we are able to firstly diagnose the patient quickly and accurately, and then give them the treatment which is very much applicable to them. So coming back to the personalized medicine. Now, that is causing a bit of stir, a good stir for us with the companies that we're talking to. And so from a commercial perspective, not only are you looking at a therapy in P140 which can treat the patient for their autoimmune disease, but you can also identify those patients earlier. So companies are saying to us, well, if we can use this technology to identify the patients and get them on therapy earlier, then that in itself is going to expand the market and the commercial opportunity. So, obvious reasons why companies are interested. Now, if I jump from the 9th of January announcement to the one we put out last week, and again, it's helpful, Zach, for me to be talking to you today because I've had a number of people contact me over the last few days since we put the last announcement out to say, well, I'm a bit confused. What's the difference between what you put out last week and what you put out in January? And also, are you telling us anything new? So what we said last week was, again, using the same laboratory in the US, we've been doing certain preclinical studies on P140. And the hypothesis that we've been working on for the last 18 months or so is very much that P140 is applicable or could be applicable not only to lupus, and most people know the company for our clinical studies and technology for lupus. But if it works in the way that we believe it works on the immune system, then it could be applicable for all autoimmune diseases. So a hypothesis is one thing, proving it with scientific data is completely another. And that's what we announced last week. And again, there were a number of confirmations that came out of the results from last week. So firstly, P140 has a completely unique mechanism of action, or MOA, as we call it, on the way it works on the immune system. It was also confirmed that P140 is completely non-immunosuppressive, and I'll come back to describe these points in more detail. And in turn, P140 is effective and it's very safe. Now, if you put all of those things together, that's very, very powerful. But this is where a little bit of confusion's come, that an awful lot of people have said, well, you knew that already, didn't you? And you've been saying that for quite a long time. What we have been saying for quite a long time is that's what we believed was happening. However, until we've got this scientific data from this study, we can never prove it. And that's what we've done with this with this announcement, is to say, look, we can now prove through rigorous scientific experiments and scientific data that those hypotheses is correct. And again, back to, well, what's the significance of that? Well, it's obviously very significant for patients, but it's also very significant in our current efforts for business development deals. And as we were talking earlier, Zach, on the wider industry, that's frankly the goal of most small biotech companies, to develop technologies up to a certain point, invest in them with shareholders' money, and then pass them over to a much larger company to take the later stage development, market them, and hopefully make lots of money through revenues, et cetera, and build value for shareholders. And this is exactly what the companies we've been talking to recently have been waiting for. So we've been presenting our hypothesis on P140 and how it works on the immune system. And they say, well, guys, if you've got this is something really quite special. And we are certainly very, very definitely interested. So show us the data, because obviously we told them in the background that we were running this study. And this is now when we are now presenting this data, for example, this week in Milan. So let me just put a little bit more meat on the bone, so to speak. So the way that autoimmune diseases are treated at the moment are individually, depending on what the autoimmune disease is. I mean, lupus is very high profile for us, but it could be rheumatoid arthritis or a thyroid problem or something to do with your gut. All of these are the base of this is your immune system essentially going out of balance. And all of these diseases at the moment are treated individually. And so different companies have developed different treatments for all these different diseases. If I can use lupus as the example, but just bear in mind, it's for people 40, it's applicable across all autoimmune diseases. The current standard of care, if I can call it that, the main treatment that lupus patients receives are steroids. Steroids have been in use for a very long time. They have, a lot of use, obviously. And they're used in terms of lupus patients is to try to restrict the action of the immune system. Because when somebody gets an autoimmune disease, and in this case, lupus, I'm using an example, what's happening is the immune system is going out of balance and it believes that the body is under attack from an outside pathogen or a virus or something. And in much the same way that your immune system produces antibodies to try and fight off a virus, for example, when a patient is in a situation where there is no threat from outside, but the body believes it is, then some gears itself up as if to fight that outside pathogen. So instead of producing antibodies, it produces what we call autoantibodies. And those autoantibodies, frankly, have got to go somewhere. They've got to do something. The immune system has sort of brought itself up on its two legs and it's ready to fight, and it's got nothing to fight. So depending on the person concerned or the patient concerned, they will show symptomology in the case of the example I'm giving, lupus, or it could be, as I say, any one of a number of other autoimmune diseases. The cause is always the same. It's just what the resultant disease presents with the person concerned. And what happens is that a lot of the treatments which have been approved and are being developed at the moment are relatively effective, but they do come with side effects. And when I say relatively effective, the general approach is to try and suppress the immune system. In other words, to say, okay, the problem here is the immune system is overactive. We need to try and stop that happening, to try and stop the production of the autoantibodies, to stop the symptomology. Now, as I'm sure you will appreciate, and a lot of your viewers, if you restrict the immune system in any shape or form, you create problems. So that's why patients get lots of different and quite nasty side effects. But also, you cannot, it's almost impossible with that approach to shut down the whole immune system. You wouldn't want to do that anyway, but it's impossible. So that means there's always some part of the immune system which is still in fighting mode and producing these autoantibodies. So again, more or less effective in terms of treating the symptomology. Now, you turn that on its head, and what I've just explained to you earlier about P140, P140 acts in a completely different way. It's what we call it acts at the top end of the cascade of the immune system. And what I mean by that is, when you get a virus, excuse me, entering the body and through the immune system, there's a series of cells and different parts of the immune system which are triggered one after the other and go down, as I say, in a cascade. And what we've done is lifted right up to the top, where the immune system in the first instance is believing it's under attack, and we're acting at that level. But what it means in practice is that we are rebalancing the immune system. So if you think of a pair of scales, and you've got a weight on the other one side and whatever you're measuring on the other, when they're in perfect balance, then no problem. If it goes out of balance, then you've got a real problem. Of one sort or another, maybe you spill whatever you're trying to measure on your scales. And unless and until you get that balance back, your immune system is still going to be trying to work and do something. So what P140 is doing is putting the immune system back in balance. It then stops believing that it's under attack, and it stops producing the autoantibodies. In the meantime, the immune system is perfectly clear, it's working, it's giving no side effects, and the symptomology goes away. Now, I'm not suggesting that that is a cure for all any autoimmune disease, but it brings the patient back into balance so they can live, hopefully, a relatively normal life whilst they're taking P140. And that is the summary of what we announced last week. So just to summarize again, this is a very, very unique mechanism of action. No other company and no other research out there that we're aware of has this approach. And anything similar to P140's molecule. And the way it works, you can see quite clearly that it doesn't suppress the immune system, so you don't get the side effects, and it will be effective. It is effective because it's stopping the production of those autoantibodies. Now, that's as much as I can explain in layman's language. but I think it's important to try and take the science out of this, the scientific words out of this sometimes, so people can get a really good idea of what we've got here.
Let's
I hope
go
that
back.
helps that.
Yeah, but I think that obviously does help. But I think there's also the aspect of the on the investor side, it seems to be that we are waiting for your patent approval. Once you have that in your hand, then you can then the people that you're talking to will say, yes, you've got the patent. Let's talk about partnering. Let's talk about licenses. Let's talk about the money coming in, or the business side of what you're doing, or the aspects of the business side of what you're doing. Is that the correct sort of timeline that we're looking at?
Yes and no. We've got discussions going on with quite a number of companies actually, and obvious reasons why they're interested. And in this whole autoimmune space, there's a bit of a land grab at the moment with a lot of the big pharma companies because they perceive, and I think quite rightly, that if they get effective treatments in autoimmune space, then from a commercial perspective, it's a big opportunity for them. And so you see lots and lots of deals being done at the moment. Just to illustrate that, over the last couple of years in this whole autoimmune space, we've seen quite a number of deals, but very big deals as well. So currently, there's been 11 deals between large companies and smaller companies in this space, all with deal values of over $1 billion plus royalties. And those $1 billion are made up of the upfront payments, which the deals that I've seen range from anywhere from $50 to $150 million, and then milestone payments on developments and approval and sales milestones reach, and then obviously royalties, which in this area I would very much expect double-digit percentage royalties. So you can see that the opportunity is there for both the small biotechs like ImmuPharma to do these deals, but from the farmer's point of view, what are they looking at in terms of commercial opportunity? Well, we're looking at an area in autoimmune that within the next 5 years, by 2030, is going to be worth global sales of somewhere around $360 billion. So you get just a little piece of that and you're doing extremely well. And I mean, these values go up, but I can remember when I first started 30 years ago, everyone talked about a blockbuster and it was a 1 billion sales per year. Well, there's a lot of those now. So companies, need to be looking for $5, $10 billion sales of products in order to make it worthwhile. And that's what this whole area of autoimmune is giving them, which is why there's an awful lot of interest in this area. From our perspective, we've been talking to these guys for a little while now, back end of last year and into this year. And I think I mentioned earlier, when I was talking that the company is saying to us, look, you've got something really quite different in P140. And, if you can demonstrate to us, one, your hypothesis and then prove your hypothesis, then we are definitely interested. And that is exactly where we've got to. And that's the significance of the announcement last week, which is supported by the announcement on the 9th of January, which, okay, different profile of P140, but it just adds to the value and the profile of P140, which makes it extremely attractive to these big companies to be taking a look at. In terms of timing, I'm not going to speculate if that's the right word. And yes, the patent is important for us to file as soon as we can. But we're not hanging around waiting, for that patent, neither of those companies, frankly, because we're in a bit of a race. It's as simple as that. And we're going to do the best deal we can, or deals in the plural, for our shareholders on P140, and let's see where we get to with that. But whilst talking about deals, I think it's also important for our shareholders or investors to understand that when I mentioned earlier about expanding the portfolio in the last few years, just from what we were known for Lupus and Lupusor, so that's P140 I've been talking about mostly today. But there are other areas of our portfolio which we also have commercial interest in. So don't be surprised if there are deals coming along this year which include parts of our portfolio which are not P140. In fact, some areas which people think, well, where did that come from? And this is what we've been doing over the last 2 or 3 years. I have to take my hat off to the team, actually, because the team, every single one of them, done a fantastic job. They've worked very, very hard over the last 2 or 3 years. And what we're seeing this year is the culmination of all of that. And back to what I was saying earlier on about external validation, this is where we're going to start to see that external validation when we crack some of these deals off.
Well, we look forward to the further developments, and you obviously tantalised us with more things you might have under your sleeve. But in the meantime, Tim McCarthy, CEO of Immu Pharma, thank you very much indeed.
Zach, great to talk to you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.